Hi, you're listening to Through the Pages.
In this podcast, we read books that are considered classics to figure out if they're worth your while.
And to discover why they are amongst the classics. We are your hosts, Fanny
and Mandy. Grab yourself a cup of tea and listen to our bookish rambles.
This time, The Haunting of Hill House by Shirley Jackson.
Welcome back.
Welcome.
This time we've got quite a good one, I would say.
We definitely do. I think one that we both tremendously enjoyed.
Yes.
Also, I love that I used the word tremendously already in the first 10 seconds.
This episode has peaked now. It's just going to get worse
from now on. But yeah, we're of course talking about The Haunting of Hill House by Shirley Jackson, a novel that was published in 1959.
Yes. And I think it is one of the most known and maybe most popular haunted house stories, I would say. I wouldn't think it's the first one, I actually have no idea, but it's definitely one that made that kind of genre quite popular.
I mean, we do have an endorsement on the front cover by Stephen King, who says, quote, "As nearly perfect a haunted house tale as I have ever read." Would you agree with Mr. King?
I mean, it's quite a statement, but I have to say, I wouldn't have ever read a better one. Mm. If any, maybe. Have you ever read a haunted house book?
Yes, we did one on an episode on this very podcast, Mandy. We did The Woman in Black.
Oh, yeah. But was...
You're like, have I ever read a ghost story?
Yeah. But see, it's funny because I wouldn't have connected that to a haunted house because the ghost.
Yeah,
exactly. And here it's more, it's like the house.
Very, very true. Yeah. No, I would definitely agree with that. Here, I mean, as it is in the title, I feel like, I mean, we just said this before, like Hill House is actually like a character in the story.
Yes.
I would say. So, the woman in black is definitely more about the woman in black.
Yeah.
And this is way more the mystique of the house itself that is at the focus of the whole narrative. Yes.
And also quite, I think, one of those ghost stories that don't have any ghosts in them, and which makes it even more creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would definitely agree.
So to give you a bit of context of what we're actually talking about, if you have never read it, we might spoil some things. Just, you know, proceed at your own caution, I'd say.
I mean, I think we said we wouldn't spoil, like, the very, very end outcome. Yes. So even if you do listen to this, there's still some, like, surprise factor.
Yeah.
But obviously, like, while describing the stories and the character, we are going to hashtag spoil.
Exactly. Because I think a book that kind of depends heavily on the vibe, mm-hmm. it's quite easy. If you know that certain things do or don't happen, I feel like it kind of ruins it or Absolutely. Could potentially ruin it. So basically, this story starts with Mr. Dr. Montague, who is a doctor, psychiatrist, would he then be? I mean, he's a doctor, Montague. That's all we need to know.
He's
here.
He's a MD Med Montague.
I didn't go to university with him. I don't know. And he basically wants to conduct a study on the occult, the hauntings, supernatural activities, and quite, like, I don't know, conveniently, there is this house within some hills. The location is never quite specified. It's just a mansion within hills or a house within hills that is known to be haunted. And he reaches out to three people that he knows have previously had some sort of supernatural encounter. One of them is Eleanor, one of them is Theodora, and one of them is Luke, who is actually one of the descendants of the previous owners of the house. So why he obviously has already previously been exposed to supernatural things will be kind of explained then throughout the book. Eleanor has just recently lost her mother that she cared for, so that was also quite a bit of a strange relationship. And then Theodora is, I think she's described as like a bohemian woman. I just have like that word bohemian.
It's never fully disclosed, like, what her family situation is, but she just seems like this kind of free spirit type person.
Quite the contrast to Eleanor and Luke. So I think it's also three, like, very different people that would probably deal very differently if they encountered any supernatural activity, mm-hmm. which I think makes this whole experiment of Dr. Montague's also a lot more interesting. So they sign up to spend a whole summer in a haunted house. Fun times, best summer activity ever.
Which again, I mean, I love that, like, that would never happen in 2023.
No.
I mean, I guess it is also, I mean, I think it's difficult to say exactly which year it plays in. But I do feel like it was probably like the early 60s or like more or less the time mm-hmm. that Shirley Jackson actually wrote the book.
Yeah, because I don't think there are any pointers that would, like, you could read this now and kind of envision, I don't know, cars to look like the ones now, or you could
absolutely
see them as, like, I don't know, horse-drawn carriages, mm-hmm. like no specific time pointers.
Yeah, I mean, I did picture them with some, like, neat 50s outfits reason, because yes. I was just like, oh, it was written in, like, 1959, yeah. so I guess they must have, like, these, like, really fun, like, curls.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
But yeah, I mean, I love that just based on the fact that, like, they had some supernatural encounters. I think with Eleanor, it's described that as a kid in mm-hmm. her, in the house that she grew up in, there was a case of poltergeists that basically just threw rocks around.
Yeah.
Which again, I love that A, Dr. Montague found these people pre the internet.
Yes, very true.
Again,
yeah.
lots of, like, research. And that these three people, I mean, Luke sort of makes more sense because he's probably there as, like, a representative mm-hmm. of the owner house. Family.
Mm-hmm.
But Theodora and Eleanor are just like, yeah, sounds like a good
sure.
summer. Let's go to a house with people I don't know
yeah.
that everyone knows is haunted.
Yeah. And also, if we've learned anything from Agatha Christie, is to never accept an invite that comes from, like, some sort of person
entity.
And sends you to yeah. like a remote house or something, because it's going to end badly.
Like, disclaimer, you will die.
Yes.
Turn around. Don't like, just rip the note apart.
And
don't
leave.
Go. But yeah.
But yeah, so they kind of spend their summer there, and obviously strange things start happening that were mildly underwhelming reading mm-hmm. it from kind of a maybe more modern perspective, where we're used to very flashy horror film-esque things. I mean, we're talking about, like, cold drafts in certain parts of the house, banging doors, foul odors.
I mean, there's nothing more spooky than foul odor.
So, you know, nothing tangible, which was quite underwhelming, and at the same time makes for a very unsettling vibe.
Definitely. I mean, you read the book mm-hmm. before, like, years ago, I think
yes.
you said. Definitely before watching the TV series.
Yes.
I came to the book after having seen the TV series first,
which true.
I think we can then come back to at
yeah.
the end to draw some connections. But having seen the TV series, which was obviously made for a 21st century mm-hmm. audience with the jump scares and all of the scariness, reading the book and what actually is considered as The Haunting is, yeah, as you said, very underwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's, like, weird growling noises, which, to be honest, if I was in a house and it was dark and there would be growling, I would, like, probably, like, pee my pants.
Yeah, but, yeah. I mean, like, it would probably be, like, a cat mating in the basement. Which, I don't know what is worse, you know. But yeah.
But yeah, the whole, like, cold, there's a cold spot near the nursery, just generally weird noises. They also describe that the group living there over the summer always tries to open all of the doors, but they continue, like, closing shut by themselves. So all sort of, like, good starters on a haunting,
mm-hmm.
but I was definitely expecting to, like, see, like, read about some ghosts slash demons
yeah.
slash possession.
Yes, yes.
For sure.
Yeah. And I think the whole kind of, I think, because the book kind of starts out following all of the characters in kind of a similar fashion, you know, you kind of have a focus on each of them, you get to know them a little bit. And then the focus shifts very much on Eleanor,
mm-hmm.
because she kind of starts being singled out by herself, by the group, and by what seems the house. Because
mm-hmm.
the house is, while, like, all of the haunting stuff that is happening is very, yeah, like, door shutting and that kind of stuff, there is one aspect that is quite active, and that is, like, writings on the wall to tell Eleanor to come home.
Yeah, it's like, Nell, come home.
Yes. And then obviously the other people of the group think that like Eleanor is playing like some weird ass games. Eleanor is thinking that maybe they are, but she also feels a very strange connection to the house because mm-hmm. she also keeps hearing voices that the other people don't hear. So I think when it shifted to the whole like, is it the house or is Eleanor the problem here? That's mm-hmm. when, to me, it started getting very creepy.
Yeah, I think in general, it's not scary as such. It's very unsettling, like the mood while reading it. And I also was reading it to the soundtrack of the TV series, which definitely helped with sort of the
brilliant.
Like, yeah, the sort of unsettling feeling.
Oh, that's a good idea. Oh, God, I don't think I could have done that, but that's a very good idea.
Yeah, that was, it was just, I would describe it as like an unsettling experience, maybe also because I kept like sort of waiting for more to come.
Mm-hmm.
But like the whole feeling while reading it was definitely, you were just not really comfortable. And I think, as you said, the shift when it started, when Eleanor just started to behave a bit weirdly,
mm-hmm.
where you were starting to be like, oh, something's not right here.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah, when I started to feel like, oh, that's actually quite creepy,
mm-hmm.
I'd say, even if there's not like crazy haunting moments or like people being chased, etc.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I would definitely say that the whole group as a whole also like makes like a shift together, so they all arrive at the same day, like a nice summer day, which is also like sort of a weird juxtaposition, this like haunted house mm-hmm. that is like quite grim and dark, and then it's like in these like beautiful nice hills with nature and like sunlight,
yeah,
which makes it almost a bit more creepy than if it was like raining and
yes
thunderbolting
yes.
around.
I do have to say in my head it was like it was dark all the time. Like I didn't mm-hmm. envision a mm-hmm. summery surrounding.
I did, because I find that way creepier than if it's yeah. dark.
It's just it makes it creepy because it's like, oh, it's not because of the dark. It's like yeah. it can happen even in like during the summer.
Yeah.
And we all know that during the summer nothing bad can happen.
No, like during like while the sun is up, nothing bad
exactly.
ever happens.
Yeah.
And one aspect that I loved about it is that the fact that the house is haunted is like a common known fact.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's like, oh, yeah, this house is haunted. No one's like scared of it as a group, actively wanting to conduct research, because mm-hmm. that is Dr. Montague's main focus. He really wants to observe these hauntings. He wants to record them and like sort of, really experience them together with other people who are maybe a bit more sensitive to the supernatural because of their previous experiences. But, I mean, they really went into it as, like, lol.
Yeah.
Like, zero prep.
Yeah.
Zero prep.
Oh, yeah, true. That was also quite wild. Like, nothing.
Nothing. Like, Dr. Montague is like, oh, I'm going to give you a brief abstract about, like, the history of the house, and then weird stuff starts happening.
Yeah.
Basically immediately.
And also, like, if it was so well known that, the house is haunted, it also feels quite strange that they were somewhat surprised at like when the actual haunting started.
They
like,
weren't super yeah. surprised. They're like, oh my god, did this door just shut by itself?
And you're like, you were very well informed what
like,
was gonna happen
in the haunted
yeah
house.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then I think as a group in the beginning they are instantly very very friendly with each other,
mm-hmm.
especially Eleanor and Theodora are like instantly like best friends. And I found that a bit weird because they meet and like 5 minutes later, Eleanor is like, oh, I love this person. She's great. We're going to spend the summer together. Even after this summer experience, like we're going to hang out. We might even move into a shared flat. And I was like, whoa, Eleanor, hold your horses. Like you've known this person for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
chill. So it was very much over the top of like that feeling of like, oh, we're a group together.
Mm.
And I remember Eleanor saying very early on, like, oh, I'm sitting in front of the fire with these people. I belong.
Yeah.
Like, I remember this, like, I belong here, which is quite weird if you think about it. It's just three rando other people in a haunted house.
Mm-hmm.
It's like not the place to be or the place to feel like you belong.
Yeah. And kind of also then makes the whole thing of like Eleanor come home or
mm-hmm.
the house that is communicating that to her even weirder, because it does
mm-hmm.
feel like she belongs in that house, not like she doesn't belong with the people, but
mm-hmm.
like specifically
the house,
not even in the house, but like as if she belongs to the house.
Mm-hmm. She's like
yeah.
She's like a cupboard
yeah
in the house
yeah
and then I found it very creepy when this very positive group dynamic started to shift.
Mm-hmm.
And it really started to shift as soon as we read the narrative more from Eleanor's perspective, where you were also a bit like, can we trust her as a narrator? I don't really feel like she's very difficult to grasp.
Mm-hmm.
And she started being quite erratic in her thoughts as well, and going from, oh, I love Theodora and we share our clothes and this is a great experience, to Theodora is awful, I hate her. Like, really these like inner monologues of like, oh, I wish Theodora was dead.
Yeah.
And that was when I felt like, oh, this house is having an effect specifically on Eleanor.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it really interesting what you said before, like, she's not necessarily being singled out, but she's singling herself out from the mm-hmm. group because of her behavior. She really starts feeling like she's not part of the group. The other ones are sort of slightly bullying her. Which, to be honest, like, a horror in its own fact.
Yeah, like, yeah, 100%.
The true haunting.
Yeah.
But the other ones don't really feel like... I didn't really feel like the other characters were behaving any differently.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just Eleanor really overanalyzing all the situations, like, really, really growing into her social anxiety.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And I think the fact that nobody else around her seems to have started acting differently is mm-hmm. what, yeah, makes it a lot more creepy, because I think she then also, like, apart from that, she hears things that that the other ones don't. She also yeah. starts like sleepwalking and like moving around very strangely and like goes to places without telling the other people. So yeah, she is actively starting mm-hmm. to behave very, very strangely, to the point where she actually goes to the library during the night because she felt like somebody was like her mom was calling mm-hmm. her.
Which is also, that one was a point where I found that was very creepy.
Yes, yes.
Because she had previously mentioned that like her relationship with her mother was very difficult
mm-hmm.
because she was nursing her like until she was like, while yeah. she was dying basically. But the mother must have also been a really miserable, mean person.
Yes.
Despite the fact that she was dying, I feel like, okay, like if you're dying, like you're allowed to do whatever you want. But I feel like she really made it sounded a bit like she was making Eleanor's life hell.
Yeah. And that maybe she kind of like came back to haunt Eleanor specifically. Mm-hmm. Because I think also before, all of the messages weren't like, didn't come from a specific person or they just came from an entity or the house.
They were like a growl.
Yeah, they were just like, growl. And Eleanor was like, okay. And this time it was specifically her mother. And then I think it was Luke and maybe also Theodora that kind of went to the library because they could like see that Eleanor was wandering around at night, which I think is like a more terrifying sight
mm-hmm.
than seeing a ghost. Because you're like, the humans are actually like the worst. Because I think
crazy.
That's also something that Dr. Montague kind of reiterated all the time, that ghosts can't hurt you, like just kind of the fear can.
Mm-hmm.
So when then Eleanor started going wild, mm-hmm. it was way more creepy because she could have like actively done something. But then she kind of goes up to like a little tower-esque thing. We're going to come back to the whole like architecture of this house
mm-hmm,
later.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like wants to jump down, and then Luke can like talk her out of it. I think it was Luke, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then she comes down and kind of that episode ends, but obviously leaves a very strange taste in everyone's mouth.
Exactly, because you're like, it feels like Eleanor wasn't really present during that mm-hmm. moment. Like, she was steered by
yes.
someone else, something else, the house maybe,
mm-hmm.
like being called to the house and to do this.
Yeah,
so that was actually creepier than like the house showing like its own ghost, because it was more like, oh, I'm infiltrating
mm-hmm.
these people, or more specifically Eleanor
yeah.
in particular.
Yeah. And also maybe you also want to go into the whole like kind of mirroring of happenings of the family that the house belonged to
mm-hmm.
and like Eleanor's activities in this whole
debacle.
Yes.
So let's quickly talk about the house itself, because I feel like, yeah, it really is sort of the fifth character in
mm-hmm.
the bunch, because it is mentioned throughout and it's really much like a standout, I don't know, place,
mm-hmm.
I feel like. So I think the first thing in this book, I underlined quite a few passages, especially when it came to descriptions of the house, because
oh, nice.
I thought they were so interesting. So
you should have annotated all of it.
with my colour coordinated little stickers. No, I didn't. I wrote into it with my pen and that was
broke
it.
The spine as well.
I'm like definitely a millennial and not a Gen Z. I'm sorry, book talk. So on the first page, in the first paragraphs, it says, and I quote, "Hill House, comma, not sane, stood by itself against its hills. Whatever walked there, walked alone." And I underlined this because that's where the creeps chills. Got me.
Chills.
Chills. I was like, first of all, the idea that a house could be insane,
mm-hmm.
which I already felt like, oh, okay, so like the house is sort of a personified in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And then also whatever walked there, walked
gross.
Alone.
That,
like,
that
never
is something,
never want to go there.
No. It sounds like a creature. It sounds like something you don't want to see or ever come into contact with. Very creepy.
Something that is bizarrely alive and shouldn't be.
Yes.
And then another fact that I thought was quite interesting is when they talked about the floor plan of the house, it seems very, very confusing and intricate. So Dr. Montague even started putting together a map of the house,
mm-hmm.
because it did seem a bit like a labyrinth. And also, as a reader, you never really knew where they were unless they were in their specific rooms. So it seems that like the rooms were also boxed, that one room was only connected with another room, but there was no like main hallway or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole thing, the whole idea that the house itself is also very complex to navigate, and very sort of counterintuitive as where you would go into a house. Then obviously all the doors always shut and closed when you open them, where they're like, oh, they're keeping you in a little box,
mm-hmm.
and it shuts you down. And also the way Dr. Montague talks about the house does feel like it's sort of alive, like, or has a character where he's like, oh, it really wants to keep its people in,
mm-hmm.
you know, the people that visited. So it definitely feels like the house is this overarching sort of entity that grabs
mm-hmm.
its inhabitants and sort of keeps them there, which is spooky.
Yeah, I think that's quite a terrifying thought.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think quite telling as well is the whole history of the house itself that Dr. Montague gives like 2 pages, which I found like very nice, because then I was like, okay, now I know what it's sort of like all based on.
Yes.
So the house was built by a man named Hugh Crane, which is also a connection then to the TV series.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, I do recognize that name.
Yeah. Yes.
Who built it and had 2 kids with his wife. But his wife died tragically already while she was drying. She was left out to dry. She was driving to the house, the cart or whatever it was,
mm-hmm.
overturned. She died and was brought lifeless into the house. So tragedy strikes. Then we've got Crane's second wife, who then also dies of a fall, it says. His third wife, I'm like, dude, don't marry again.
Yeah,
like, just,
no.
Just like, live
it's
in an open
bad luck
relationship. Like, don't do this thing again. She dies of consumption.
Yeah. The most normal of the 3 deaths, considering the times,
definitely.
Probably. Because the fall, I think, was also a bit like,
a bit like mysterious, where they were like,
yeah.
Oh, what happened there? But already 3 deaths in a very, like, relatively short time span. Then no one lived in Hill House for a really long time. Until the Hugh Crane died and his 2 daughters inherited the house as sort of shared,
mm-hmm.
A shared house. There was a big dispute between the 2 sisters. The older one finally lived in the house, though it was always a bit like of a problem.
Mm-hmm.
The older sister had a companion who was really sort of sharing her life with the older sister. And when the older sister died, the younger sister sort of wanted to take over the house. Huge lawsuit ensued. And then the companion did get the house for herself, but was very unhappy in there because the younger sister seems like she was really a piece of work.
Yeah.
And just kept nagging her, stealing like jewelry, wanting all the contents of the house,
mm-hmm.
which resulted in the companion committing suicide by hanging herself from the tower in the house.
Yes.
The
same tower that Eleanor in like present time wanted to kind of
jump
down
off
from.
On.
Yeah.
So there's a fun, oh, not fun, but like
interesting
connection while reading. You're like, oh, I think I've read this before. And then the younger sister, I think, taking over the house. But then again, like just basically tragedy, death sort of always lingered
mm-hmm.
in this house.
And also like a very strange obsession with the house, even though everybody knew that nothing good has ever come from it.
Definitely.
Which is also very weird. I mean, if I was the younger sister and I saw that like my older sister's companion like committed suicide in there, I'd be like, okay, you know what? I think this house is bad news.
Also, like all of my, like my mother and my three, like two stepmothers,
yeah,
like tragically died here. Yes. Everyone dies in its wake. I don't think so.
No.
Also,
no.
Like all of the rooms are like a labyrinth.
Exactly,
no, thank you.
Exactly. No, I mean, maybe you. They were thinking, you know, it's a free big house in this economy. could like cling on to it.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I wanted to ask you how, because we do have all of these different descriptions of the house, but I still feel like because it is so convoluted and complicated, how did you picture it when you read it?
I had a very specific image in my head that I stole from a completely different story universe, but it was because the house was so like, kind of sounded as if it was like a box within a box and you didn't really understand how it was, and that was the Shrieking Shack.
Love it.
In Hogsmeade. The Sirius Black Hidden. That was like, I just had that image in my head, but like put that house in the middle of hills, and then with like some weird ass little towers sticking out,
yeah,
that then obviously all of these people could jump from.
That is hilarious. Hilarious. I love it because I had a completely different vision while reading it, which is fun to see because
yes,
two people read the same story very
yeah
differently. Because I really pictured one of these like sort of older, like I want to say like 19th century, like white American houses that have like the porch or the veranda around it.
Mm-hmm.
Like a very sort of typical like suburb house for some reason, which doesn't really make sense and doesn't fit with this like creepy mansion vibe.
No.
Also didn't picture a tower until I read, oh, the companion committed suicide from the tower. I was like, oh, there's a tower, need to wait. And then it was like clicking pause on Sims and then like building something and constructing
the
little tower. And then I was like, okay, that's probably on the right hand side. Okay, continue.
I love that, yeah.
But I love that we had two completely different...
I mean, like, completely different in terms of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because
that's so strange. Also, because now I'm thinking, was there ever a description...
From the outside? I
no,
don't think
right?
so. It was very much focused on, like, the heart of
yeah
the house, but I don't think its colour was ever described, even though it would make way more sense. I mean, we both envisioned a house made of wood, even
yeah
though it would make way more sense if it was stone.
Yes. And also interesting that neither of us, I mean, now me reading it a second time after having seen the show, that neither of us envisioned the TV show. Because I remember when I saw the TV show, I thought, oh, the house like actually looks like something that like it looks very kind of accurate, it had like the right vibes, but then my head just went to like the Shrieking Shack.
Yeah, same, because actually like I didn't think about it while reading, but before I started the novel I was like, oh, probably now it's going to be ruined a bit because I have all of these pictures from the series that I'm going to sort of put on what I read. Nope. It was like completely
yeah
different.
Yeah.
Also, how did you imagine, like, the characters? Were they also the characters from the show?
No. Mm. They looked very much like their own
same
things. Also, because I do have that, like, very... I don't know, I kind of... My head and my brain seems to gloss over people descriptions. Like, I'll be reading a book, the character was probably, like, described at the very beginning, and then I imagine, just a random person
yeah
that definitely isn't what they look like. And then at the end, I don't know, something like blonde hair gets mentioned. I'm like, what is blonde hair? Like, that character has black hair.
Like, she bound up her beautiful blonde hair. She's like, yeah, she's got raven black hair.
Like, literally, so... So I actually cannot remember what Shirley Jackson described the characters as, if she did.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that word bohemian, I had like a very
specific
image
yeah
for Theodora in my head that had like very long, curly, flowy hair and
same
was like wearing like a tunic.
Ooh.
Of some sort with like jewelry that would have been very unusual for the time. And then with Eleanor, I just imagined like a very like faceless person, like a very blank, nondescript female. You know when you have like the, I don't know, like an icon with just a person with like shoulder length hair.
Love that.
And like nothing else, no other detail. That in my head was Eleanor.
That's because she's part of the house.
Exactly.
No, I envisioned her way more as sort of like a wallflower type, because she did seem more introverted And she, I imagined her with like a little perm and like a little cardigan.
Fun.
Don't know why. Fun. Don't know why.
Yeah.
But that was her.
Luke had no place face. In my head.
Luke was like, oh, he's just like, he was a dude. And then where if you would have zoomed to his face, it was just, would have been like a blank, like,
yeah,
you know,
same.
Like these dolls that don't have a face. It would have just been like, yes. Hey, I'm Luke.
It's like a mannequin with like a nondescript dude haircut, like, you know, like even the hair color where you're like, is it blonde, is it brown? Yeah. That my brain didn't really want to like focus on anything.
Also, funnily enough, now that I think about it, he was the only one that I didn't envision in like 1950s clothing. He had like one of these like lumberjack shirts. Default dude.
I also feel like maybe like the whole Luke like from Gilmore Girls outfit like played into that, because I mean I just realized that now, because I also imagine him with like a lumberjack shirt.
Oh my god, I can, yeah, absolutely.
I love like this, the whole thing of how you imagine things, yeah, versus like what they are described in books, and even if they are described or aren't, how much like creative freedom your brain has.
Yeah, also we have to mention this and talk about this way more often in our episodes now, because I feel like even though we read the exact same book at the same time, we made up two completely different worlds.
Yeah,
which
it's
is hilarious.
Hilarious. Also, fun fact, in my head, Mr. Dr. Montague looked like the Monopoly man with black hair. I don't know why, but as soon as I saw the name Montague, my head went Monopoly.
Like,
maybe because of like
go to prison.
Literally, maybe like the first two letters, like Monopoly Montague.
True.
But like, and then I couldn't shake that image, and then after a while I was like, okay, I just have to accept this now.
Funnily enough, though, I did imagine him to be a bit more like of a smaller, like sturdier man as well, in like a little
like with a round face,
a little tux as well.
Yeah,
which doesn't make any sense because he's a doctor
and
it's summer and he's in a haunted house.
Oh yeah,
but he was wearing a tux.
Yeah. See, also the whole thing about the summer and how the people were dressed, like that had no relevance in my brain.
That is so funny.
Love it.
But let's come to the ultimate question of, what the heck happened? Is it a
good question?
Is the house haunted? Because something that we have forgotten to mention is that some other characters do join a bit later on, which is actually Mrs. Montague, the doctor's
Mrs.
wife.
Mrs. Monopoly.
Mrs. Monopoly, which are like, insert your own like creation here. And her assistant.
Yeah.
And she's very much like the typical, like, I can speak to the dead medium, which is in a complete juxtaposition with her husband, who is more like, I'm a scientist and I do believe in the supernatural, but let's investigate and record everything we see. And she was just like, I can talk to the dead.
Yeah.
Let me communicate.
And I also love how she came in. She was like, Monty, like, what the fuck? You have not achieved anything. You haven't registered anything. Let me do your work.
Let me do it.
Yeah.
And then she also proceeds to go into the nursery, which seems to be like the cold spot creepo place in this house. Where again, I'm like, Mrs. Montague, like, you go.
Go for it.
But she very much seems like she is a fraud. I mean, throughout it's very clear that she's the typical, like, oh, I'm in a haunted house, so it, like, there's a little scratch, like, I'm gonna make something out of it, until she also says, oh, I did hear a voice, or like have someone tell me, Nell, come home, which is the only connection to things that also Eleanor saw with the writing on the wall. And Mrs. Montague did not know about this yet.
Yes.
So there is where you're like, oh, probably like you're 90% fraud, but 10% you'd seem to have like somehow taken in from the house.
Yes.
Which I found that point very interesting. So, is the house haunted? Does the house have an influence on Eleanor? Is Eleanor crazy? These are the...
So
let's break it down.
So, I think... I have, like, two things that, in my opinion, would make for, like, a good explanation. The first one is the whole, like, actual unreliable narrator. Eleanor was kind of, like, the... Not the problem was, but was it, everything is happening within Eleanor's head, and that maybe even like the writings on the wall and different things she did herself while the other ones weren't with her or something, and she just can't remember and is actually like kind of maybe going through like a psychotic break after the death of her mom. So more like a rational explanation, if you will. And then the second one is that she is completely fine like everyone else, or completely not fine like everyone else. Like, leave that up to you.
Tend to not fine.
Exactly. But that the house is kind of like a gathering point or a vessel for actual spirits. And that is why Nell was specifically targeted, because she had lost someone the most recent. Mm-hmm. So it felt as if like Nell's mom's spirit went to the house, because the house like attracts ghosts. I don't know. And then Nell went there, and then obviously kind of the mom was like, oh, that's my girl. And was like, hello.
Growl,
come home. And would explain why the other ones didn't have the exact same intense experiences, because they hadn't lost someone as close to this whole experiment.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, yeah, the house definitely singles out Eleanor, or she lets herself be singled out.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, by the writing, and then also her having this like strong connection, being called to different parts of the house.
Exactly.
But yeah, I feel like throughout, I mean, I did think about what if maybe Nell or Eleanor is connected to the companion, who was sort of part of the OG story of the house, because they both ended up on that tower. Nell luckily not dying at that point, and the companion did. So I felt a bit like, what if like they share a story or sort of a family tree line?
Yeah.
Because it did seem like to Nell this house was very much home, which is very counterintuitive, because it's creepy as fuck.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, Nell also becoming more and more irrational, with sort of especially focusing on the group and feeling like, I don't belong with the people. I belong to the house, but not the people. What are they thinking about me? Mm-hmm. Like this whole very, very strong social anxiety phase she was going through. I was thinking about the fact, what if actually there's nothing much happening in the house, and because people already know and so much expect the house to be haunted, because also the way that they were just like, yep, this house is haunted, everyone knows it, it's common fact, that the you have your like attention and your antenna out so much that everything that happens is already sort of like I'm interpreting this as a haunting, and that she sort of drove herself crazy a little bit, because there's so much room for interpretation, or like also playing off of the other characters, you know. I mean, who's to say that it wasn't Luke growling in the hallway?
Yeah, honestly, yeah.
You know, or like Monty in his little Monopoly,
like faking his own research at all costs. Yeah.
So it's very much like, and it's also funnily enough never explained.
Yeah.
So it is very much an open end, and leaves it to the reader to really decide for themselves what happened.
Yeah.
Because there's no clear explanation. It's not like, oh, this is clearly a haunting, or like, well, people just went a little bit crazy.
Yeah.
You really sort of have an open end, which usually with this type of story I don't enjoy, because I'm like, well, I was sort of like creeping along, I now want to know what's fact.
You can tell me.
But with this one I really enjoyed it, I have to say, because as you can see, there's so much room for speculation, and I thought that makes a lot of like room for like thinking after the story has already ended.
Yeah, 100%. I think also in this story it also didn't really bother me that much, because it was clear from the beginning kind of that you weren't ever going to get a real answer, also because like everything was linked to that research, so you kind of went into the story knowing that, oh, there is research to be done, like there had never been anything like properly recorded, or like a ghost had never been actually seen, so that's why we're going there to try and find out. And as you would probably like expect, you probably wouldn't find anything, but people still experience things, so I think that was you kind of went in with the right expectation. So yeah, I thought that was also quite good. But I like the whole thing about Eleanor being connected to the companion, because it still, because then I thought, oh, but like, why wouldn't Luke be affected, who is like an actual like descendant of the house family? But it does seem to also be like a female tragedy line.
Oh, very true. Oh yeah.
So
true,
it does go through like the wives and then the sisters, and not like the men in that story. So it would kind of make more sense that Nell or Eleanor would be affected more than Luke in that case. Yeah. So I quite like that idea that she kind of has been like unintentionally attracted back to the house, or the house is like come home, because she actually belongs to some sort of like family lineage.
Also, I mean, I feel like we're leaving out the very end of the story because it does end with a big bang.
Yes.
So definitely do go read it and finish the whole story too to find out how it all ends. But even though with the ending, like, it still leaves a lot of room for speculation, I would say. It's not a close sort of like, no, oh, that's what happened situation.
I think the end makes it almost...
More.
It makes it almost impossible to come to a conclusion.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Comparing the TV series to the book, what were your thoughts?
I loved the TV series a lot. I think they completely nailed the atmosphere that you had in the book. I mean, given the TV show was a lot more like horror and jump scary. I mean, the bent neck lady, will never forget her ever.
I'm still low-key traumatized.
I mean, as soon as like that camera always started tilting, you knew that you were in for like a bang. And every time I even closed my eyes and just heard the sound and my heart like skipped a beat. It was terrifying, but I really liked it. I thought it was one of maybe the best adaptations in terms of like loose adaptations that they took. The vibe, they took the whole like weird family lineage and house thing, and kind of also the fact of like, is it me that is going crazy? Is it like the black mold? Is it an actual haunting? Like, all of these questions, I think, were transcribed or like transported perfectly into the TV show, that it didn't have to be like true to the plot. I think if it had been true to the plot, it would have been boring.
It would have been a very boring watching experience because reading the book is very much fun, even though, like, as we said in the haunting department, nothing much or like super duper scary happens. But Shirley Jackson's writing style and like the eeriness that she creates definitely makes the book. I think it's extremely atmospheric, it's very unsettling, and I think that's really like the feeling that you have throughout reading it. And also sort of when you finish the story, you're like, oh, I can definitely remember sort of the feeling I had while reading it.
Yes.
But it would have been very difficult to transport that exact story into film, because also it focuses so much on Eleanor and her interior monologue and life and thoughts. So that would have been quite boring. So I think I completely agree that they took the like fun aspects and also some of the characters' names, etc., which obviously I then did think about like while I was reading. I was like, oh, Nell is also the one who like then does hang herself in the story. Like, okay, that's interesting, even though in the book she doesn't. Or doesn't kill herself from that tower. I feel like I'm good at it's the end of the episode because like I plot twist, I can't speak anymore. But yeah, so I think they did a very good adaptation, and in terms of adaptation, they nailed it. Absolutely.
Completely.
So I would say in conclusion,
you can watch the TV show fast, read the book fast. It doesn't really matter because nothing gives away anything. Do consume both, I would suggest, if you haven't either. Watch the TV show, read the book, because it's great stuff.
Yeah, I mean, take it from me, like, I watched the TV series first and then was still sort of wowed and surprised by the novel. And yeah, if you want to have a fairly quick, like, very atmospheric, spooky read, go have a read.
I think also, just as an end thought, I think also that's why it works, because it's not that long. It doesn't drag in any way. It's like, it's quite jam-packed with stuff that is happening.
That is true.
Because Shirley Jackson wrote like a very concise story, and I like that.
Because if she would have been like on page 300 and it would have been like, the spot above the nursery was still quite cold, you would have been like, Shirley, like, let's nip it in the bud. So it's very, it's very concise. It's very like driven, and also like character driven. I really enjoyed reading Eleanor, even though she's a difficult character to grasp, but definitely an interesting reading experience. And I feel like definitely one that I could read again.
Yes, I can attest to that as well.
And I really like her writing style as well, which now has led me to actually listen to the audiobook of We've Always Lived in a Castle.
Which is a good one. It's a great
one. Also a great one. Another novel by Shirley Jackson, and again was very much wowed. So definitely a very fun, interesting writing style.
Yes. So thank you for listening. Go follow us on Through the Pages Pod on Instagram and TikTok.
Yes, you've heard it right.
If you want to see what we're up to, if you want to join in on the book conversations, we'd love to hear what you thought about the book, about the TV show, whichever you've seen or read.
Absolutely.
And hear you in the next one.
Hear you soon. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.